This is a commune podcast. Good night stories for adults. From my dreams to yours. Presented by Roshan Abbas. A lifeline can take many shapes. Anish Ramachandran. Do you want to join our book club? She asked me via text message yesterday, inviting me to be part of a newly formed book club with a childhood friend of hers. Now a young adult, she came into my life when she was 4. She was not mine biologically, but yet she could not have been but mine. And she has been by far the best thing that ever happened to me, before or since. I had known her for a little over a year before she and her mother, who has now been my wife of 20 years, formally came into my life. A frequent visitor to where she stayed with her mother and grandfather, I had grown to love her presence in my life. And I'd like to think she felt the same, for she was forever on my lap. Her precociousness, her ability to ask limitless questions, her ingenuity to make up stories, most often about herself. And there was always something that demanded she be the centerpiece of attention, and I couldn't begrudge her that, even if I wanted. Catapulted into formal parenthood, I struggled during those early months between my love for her and the baggage that I was carrying in my head about correct parenting. Most of our fights were around her having her food. She seemed to have an aversion to actually chewing her food and would not tire of just keeping food in her mouth, shifting it from one side to another, while she dawdled away for hours making imaginary designs with the rest of the food on her plate. Somehow, this sight always got the worst out of me. Invariably, these fights ended with tears on one side and guilt on the other. I got many things wrong, but she continued to throw me chances, without perhaps quite realizing how much she was saving me from myself. Looking back, I realized that if our children didn't show us the generosity of these multiple chances, there are some of us who might have run out of options for redeeming ourselves. We also developed some rituals. We had a routine, she and I. I was her designated bedtime storyteller. Each night, each story would start the same way. Once upon a time, long, long ago, there lived. And each night, the story would end the same way. And then they lived happily ever after. End of story. Some nights, there actually was a story between the start and the end. Most nights, it was only those two lines, which inevitably led to a loud complaint and mock exasperation. As a ritual, it was perfect. I had my lines and my timing down to a pat. She had a high-pitched whine with just the right tonal inflection at the perceived injustice. It was perfectly designed to end with a smile on our faces at bedtime. There seemed to be nothing that I couldn't love about her. We had another little ritual. Our morning trudge to the bus stop. Me with her school bag, she with her lunch bag, my hand around her shoulder, she chattering away 19 to the dozen was something I looked forward to daily. However, she was early as a teenager to shrug off my protective hands around her thin shoulders. The change was not gradual, it was almost overnight. The morning when the realization hit me that she no longer wanted that protection, my words, is still imprinted in my mind. Then, as she grew older, the eye roll started and the muttered whatever's under the breath followed soon after. I was absolutely convinced these had been designed specifically to make me go into apocalyptic fits. I'd often wonder what I meant to her. Every hug she drew back from made me wonder even more, and so, while we grew up together, me as a father and she from a child into a beautiful young lady, there seemed to be nothing I could do right during those years. The years whizzed by, as they so often do, quite fast, regrettably made faster by the fact that I was traveling on work incessantly and seemed to miss almost everything of importance in her life. On her 16th birthday, I was hauled away in distant California on a special 3-week assignment disguised as a leadership opportunity. I convinced myself of the value of this and made excuses to her. She was, as always, gracious in not ever once making me feel guilty about the special occasions I was missing. But with the clarity that comes from hindsight, I know that I was only fooling myself. And so it was, at the age of 18, she left home to study in foreign shores. Too early, my heart screamed. I need more time with her and she with me, I told myself. You owe it to her to let her choose her life, let her go, my head said. I listened to my head. My wife and I made the trip to settle her in. It was more for us than for her. Coming back to a home without her was much more of a heartbreak than I cared to admit. I wept the first week, every time I passed by her empty room. And while we adjusted to a life in a house bereft of her presence, there seemed to be nothing that I didn't miss about her. But strangely, it also seemed that distance brought us closer. We were talking and sharing more. I would write long emails, initially describing our lives here. She would respond with text messages about her life there. I got to know about differences with her roommates, a childhood friend who was now pestering her, fancying a relationship that was unwelcome, a fallout with her best friend from her school years that left her in heartbreak and tears, and much more. I felt tremendously gratified every time she reached out to get advice on how to respond to situations in her life. It seemed being away from home and growing up into an independent adult, she needed more from me than at any time before. I was only too glad to accept that with open arms. And, oh yes, I almost forgot to mention, these days she allows me to put my arms around her for almost a whole minute. Perhaps this is all only in my mind, but to know that I am needed and that she will reach out whenever she feels the need to is gratifying beyond measure. She lives and works in London now, and I am in Bangalore. Locked down in our respective mega cities as most of the world is, our physical world has shrunk to fit into the contours of the houses we inhabit. The plans to be with her in July during the convocation to celebrate her doctoral degree already shelved. It was in the midst of this situation that I got the text yesterday with the invitation to join the virtual book club. She and her friend, who lives in California, planned to discuss the book over a video chat in a month's time. An author that I haven't read, of a book that I don't have, on a device that I dislike, but it is also the perfect lifeline in these times to touch, to connect, to stay alive, to feel wanted, especially by your children. We don't speak about love or what we mean to each other. I don't think we need to. In these days of uncertain futures, these tiny phrases alluding to love from our shared past and our hopeful future bring smiles, as well as silent tears and yearning for the years of togetherness long past and a future that is a tad more reassuring than the one we see today. I look at the invitation on my phone. Will you join our book club? For you, 1,000 times over, I want to tell her in response to it, like Hassan tells Amir in The Kite Runner. It was only a smile, nothing more. It didn't make everything all right, only a smile. A tiny thing. But I'll take it with open arms. This is dedicated to all those daughters and sons in faraway shores who send us, their parents, lifelines, wittingly or otherwise in these times. There is not a day that passes when you are not in our thoughts, with love in our hearts, with warm thoughts, and with a prayer on our lips. God bless you all, is the note that Anish ended this story with. This story was created in collaboration with Anchor. If you've ever wanted to start your own podcast, it doesn't get any easier than Anchor. You might think you need all kinds of equipment to get started, but all you need is Anchor. It is an all-in-one free tool from Spotify that lets you create your own podcast and release it everywhere. With Anchor, you can record, edit, and upload your show to be heard on all listening platforms. Try it on your web browser or right from the Anchor mobile app. And best of all, it's totally free. Try Anchor today or tomorrow morning. Good night.
This is a Commune production. The episode was produced by Envision Sounds. The story was written by Anish Ramachandran.
This is a Commune podcast.
This is a Commune podcast.